We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everyone to Redemption Church. We are a brave and mighty church in Plano, Texas. Greetings to everyone online, wherever you are online. Hello. We're so glad to be preaching the word to you. Thank you for checking out today's sermon. Thank you in advance for sharing it, liking it, leaving nice comments. Would be nice. Nice comments would be really great. My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm glad to be sharing God's word with you. We are in the third week of a strange sermon series called what? That's right. Jesus loves meme. Jesus loves meme. And in week one, our care pastor, Marshall Blessing, explained what a meme is. It is a shareable idea that usually utilizes pictures. In week one, Marshall taught you about the Seems Legit meme. And that's a really funny meme. But Jesus is completely legit. He is totally legit. And because he's legit, you are legit as well, all right? And then last week, we talked about the also me meme. It was a reminder that we have a sin nature working in us, but our true identity is found in Jesus Christ. Today, I have a brand new meme to share with you, and this meme is extremely convoluted and extremely silly. It's called the Yo Dog meme. Somebody said, Yo Dog. Yo, dog. All right, now y'all bear with me today, okay? It's going to be a little silly, but I promise you we're going to get to the Word of God in just a moment. Whatever, would you please? All right, oh my goodness. My grandmother would just not understand this sermon at all, but y'all are hip. Y'all understand these things. This is a strange meme that took a screen grab from a TV show in the early 2000s, and it created an internet phenomenon. The name of the TV show was, anybody know? Pimp My Ride. Pimp My Ride. Basically, they would take a car that was in poor condition and they would restore it. Not only would they restore it, but they would insanely customize it. And these cars were just crazy, just outrageous in every way. Pimp My Ride was hosted by a rapper named Exhibit. Anybody spell exhibit? X-Z-I-B-I-T. All right. We're getting all kinds of culture here. It's amazing. All right. The meme showed up around 2008 as the show was wrapping. And I think it must have been based on the idea of Exhibit, the host, going overboard on customizing people's cars. He would go crazy with it. Like if they liked a little bit of this, he added a whole lot of this. You get it? You see what I'm talking about right here? All right. Like if you like fuzzy dice, all right, your whole car is a fuzzy dice now. Like that kind of craziness. All right. It's centered on the idea of taking a thing that you love and placing it inside another similar thing that you love, all right? And if you don't understand that, that is okay, okay? It goes a little bit like this. Here's a few examples of the meme floating around on the internet. Yo, dog, we put a car inside yo car so you can drive a car while you drive yo car, all right? We heard you like cars, so here's a car inside a car. You get it? Car inception, all right? Yo, dog, we heard you like pie, P-I. So we put pie on your pie so you can eat while you formulate ratios. All right. There's a lot of pie going on there. All right. All right. Gets crazier. Yo, dog. I heard you like yo, dog. So I put some yo, dog inside yo, yo, dog so you can yo, dog when you yo, dog. I did not create that. That is someone's work on the internet. All right. Worse, if you thought that was convoluted. All right. Yo, dog, I heard yo and yo, dog like yo-yos. So we put yo, dog in a yo-yo so yo can yo-yo yo, dog while yo, dog yo-yos. Dog? Right. You might have to pray for the interpretation on that one. All right. And then the meme is also used by just some simple ways. Yo, dog, I heard you like dolls right there. And there's a nesting doll, right? Obviously, inside that doll is another doll. Inside that doll is another doll. All right. So sometimes little pictures like with that, and they would just pop exhibit's face on it. Or this one, yo dog, I heard you like shelves. And there's this picture of shelves, and inside the shelves are built-in shelves, and to the ridiculous small little shelves at the bottom. So somebody just saw that and just thought of the exhibit yo dog meme. This is the idea of the meme, is that you take a thing and put it inside a similar thing. Are you following me so far, right? To the point of it becoming outrageous. You take something good and put it inside of something similar and good. It ends up becoming something outrageous. It ends up becoming like nothing else. So I tried to make some for church folk, all right? So bear with me. Some of these aren't that great, but it's the best I could do. Yo, dog, I heard you like being in God's house, so we are having Connect Group at your house so you can be in God's house in your house. All right. Y'all are so polite. Thank you. I'm like sitting at Starbucks sweating trying to come up with these. Thank you so much. All right. For a sister right here. Yo, sister, I heard you was praying for a mailman, so I'm inviting my mailman to church so you can shout hallelujah that the Lord has given you a mailman. Hey, some people were praying for that. All right. Yo, dog, I heard you like working on your body, so I put your body in the body of Christ so you can be working in the body while you're working on your body. All right. There we go. All right. One more. Yo, dog, I heard you have been praying for Matt, so I got you a prayer mat so that you can be praying on Matt while you praying on yo mat. There we go. That is all I could come up with today. All right. If you think this is a silly meme, you are absolutely correct. It's absolutely ridiculous and ludicrous, right? Most of these are absolute, just absurd, convoluted ideas. I heard you like yo-yos, so I put a yo dog on your yo-yo. Well, craziness, right? But there is a common idea in each of these memes that I want to use to preach to you today about an essential church doctrine. So heads up, today's going to have fun, silly elements in it. But understand that there's an important message here, and you're going to hear it today. At the heart of the Yo Dog meme is the idea of taking something you like, placing it inside something of similar substance. A car within a car, a shelf within a shelf, a yo-yo dog for yo dog inside a yo-yo dog, all that stuff, right? And this thought makes me think that Jesus might share this meme to teach us about the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. You are in a church that is not afraid of the Holy Spirit, right? Like, we say Holy Spirit, no one gets up and leaves. Nobody's like, oh my goodness, they might be talking about the Holy Spirit today. Oh, we are not that kind of church. That's not the church you walked in today. We aren't even afraid of calling it the Holy Ghost, right? We aren't afraid of saying the Holy Ghost around here. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, by the way, that's the same being, right? The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, same, all right. We should not be afraid of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. Yet some Christians become nervous when they start hearing about the Holy Spirit, all right? Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. You see, most people are okay to get to verse 3. And then like church folk get a little nervous about this. All right. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and come to rest on each of them. Verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Wow. What's going on in this verse? There's some amazing things going on inside this verse. The Holy Spirit arrives and no one noticed it. Nobody. Wrong. The Holy Spirit arrived and it was impossible not to notice it. I want to tell you something, that when God's Spirit arrives, it is impossible not to notice it. Let me tell you. If we would let His Spirit arrive in this church all of Plano, Texas would notice it. If you let the Holy Spirit arrive in your family, the people on your city block would notice it. The person in the cubicle next to you at work, the person next to your locker at school, they would all notice it. Because when the Holy Spirit shows up, it is impossible not to notice it. The Holy Spirit arrives. There are tongues of fire. They are filled with God's Spirit. And they began to speak in a new language. When it says they began to speak in other tongues, in new tongues, it is saying that they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them. They hadn't gone crazy. They were not filled with a demon. The Spirit was doing this. Now, you would ask, why would I say that? Because there are some churches around that would say, if you are speaking in tongues, that is the devil. You could not be more wrong. That is the Spirit that enables you to do that. That is the Holy Spirit. How dare you call that Satan? How dare you call that demonic? Right? Jesus tells us not to do such things. That is called the blasphemy of the Spirit when you call what God is doing the devil's work. All right. So people speaking in tongues, that is not something to go, Margaret, we got to get out of here. That is in the Word. Now, if that wasn't in the Word, I'd be right there with you. But because it's in the Word, I'm like, whoa, the Spirit's doing that? I want that. The Spirit's doing that. I'm going to invite him to do that inside of me. I got a question for you today. Is an Acts 2 visitation of the Holy Spirit welcomed today? Do you welcome it? And don't even say this out loud. I want you to get this in your heart, in your mind. You formulate that answer. Are you really welcoming of the Holy Spirit? Are you really wanting like that Acts chapter 2 experience? What if it's far out and unlike anything you've ever experienced before? Are you still welcoming it? What if it takes you beyond your comfort zone? Are you still welcoming it? What if it's not something you understand for all of you people that just have to have everything lined up and figured out? What if you can't figure out the Spirit? Jesus says that the Spirit being born again is like the wind. And nobody can tell where the wind comes from. It just shows up. He says this in John chapter 3. And then the wind shows up in Acts chapter 2. Nobody knows where it came from. It just came from heaven. And there it was. If you're one of these people that's like, oh no, I've got to have everything figured out, that you are not going to be welcoming of the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? You will never have God's Spirit all figured out. You'll never have it figured out. Man, so are we welcoming of an Acts chapter 2 visitation? Let me tell you, Redemption Church, we need to allow God to move right here, right now, like God's Spirit moved in Acts chapter 2. Even if it takes us out of our comfort zone, even if it takes us out of our denominational upbringing, man, there's so many people that are closed off. They have lines drawn, like, from their denomination, I'm this comfortable with the Holy Spirit, but not that comfortable with the Holy Spirit. I'm about this comfortable with the Holy Spirit. Have you ever seen, like, there's a joke about, like, different ways people lift their hands, right? They've got some people that, this is the, I got to move a TV, lift my hands, right? And this is, like, the waiter, going to worship the Lord. Oh, praise him. He's like, right? Like, we're this, how comfortable are we? Be comfortable. Be comfortable with the Holy Spirit. All right. Would you be uncomfortable and leave if the wind of God started blowing? Would you start looking for another church if someone spoke in tongues as the Spirit enabled them? Let me tell you, that's a real deal. That's a real deal. I would hate to see anyone walk up and leave. But let me tell you, I'm going to choose the Spirit over anyone's membership. I'm going to choose the Spirit of God over anyone's membership. We bless you. Go out and be, you know, serve God where you want. But I'm telling you, if God wants to do that here, I want him to do that here. There are Christians and Christian churches that have closed themselves off from the Holy Spirit. We're not naming any of them today because we don't hate them. We're not casting stones at them, but we're telling it like it is. There are Christian churches that you could go to today that you will never hear them talk about the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it would just like show up in a scripture and they'd like move on very quickly, right? That's a real thing, right? There are churches that actively preach that the Spirit is not active today like it was in Acts chapter 2. That's somebody's doctrine. They take a few scriptures here and there and they make them mean something completely different where the Spirit just doesn't move today, that the Spirit somehow has closed down shop on the earth. Wrong. 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 Somebody say wrong. There are churches that are nervous that God's Spirit could show up in a service and that it would make people feel uncomfortable and cause them to lose members. They are more concerned with attendance numbers than God's Spirit. Now, I'm concerned with attendance numbers because I want people that are hungry to be coming into the church house. And I want them finding Jesus. I'm not casting that to a side. But I'm telling you, we cannot be the church of Jesus without the Spirit. Amen. And the church world today has all these formulaic plans on how to church grow. And some of those things you can get some really valuable knowledge. But here is God's church growth plan right here. That the Spirit shows up in Acts chapter 2 with 120 believers. And because they allowed the Spirit to show up, 3,000 people showed up. That is God's growth plan right there. How do we grow the church? God, here it is. We let God's Spirit show up and save us and minister in us and show up. Let the fire show up in us. In an Acts 2 visitation, is an Acts 2 visitation of the Holy Spirit welcomed today? Coming in contact with God's Spirit is a good thing. It's always a good thing. You should not fear the Spirit. And I'm going to give you some reasons to welcome God's Spirit today. Yo, dog. I heard you love Jesus. Well, stick with me for a second. If you love Jesus, you should absolutely love the Holy Spirit. You follow me? Do you need some time to think about this? If you love Jesus, if you get those goosebumps when you think, oh my gosh, how he died for me, how he came for me, how he's going to return for me, how he forgave me of all, if that's working inside of you, let me tell you, the same things ought to be working inside of you when you hear and feel the Holy Spirit. If you love Jesus, you should absolutely love the Holy Spirit. If you welcome Jesus, you should absolutely welcome the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ living inside of you. Yo, dog, I heard you love Jesus. Remember, the yo, dog meme is you take something similar that's good and then you put it inside. All right. You love Jesus. Here's the Holy Spirit. Amen. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 says this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is a dude walking around. How is Christ in you? It's the Holy Spirit inside of you. We aren't talking about some completely different entity here. We're talking about Christ in you is the Holy Spirit living in you. Yo, dog, I heard you love Jesus, so I put Jesus inside of you. So now you can worship Jesus and feel his Spirit move inside of you. So now you can read the Word and at the same time have the Word revealing inside of you. So now you can talk to Jesus and have Jesus talk to you by the Spirit. It's outrageous. It's outrageously good, isn't it? Yo, dog, if you love Jesus, you must love the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, it's such a curious chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters. He just like gets real with his disciples here, tells them I'm leaving, and they start freaking out, right? I relate. I relate to it. In John 14, he tells his disciples that he must go away, but he is sending the Holy Spirit. Curiously, Jesus constantly changes his pronouns in this chapter. I challenge you to read it and try to keep up with his pronouns. When talking about the Spirit, he's constantly changing his pronouns. He calls the Spirit he. He will come to you, right? And then he turns around and says, I will come to you. Jesus says, the Spirit, he will be in you. And then Jesus says, I will be in you. In just a few verses, look, we'll look at it together. John 14:17, so you know I'm not making it up. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him. Him, pronoun, but you will know him, for he lives in you and will be in you. Verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans. That means fatherless. I will come to you. Verse 20, on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. What? Him, I? Him, I? Both. Yeah. The Holy Spirit is he, and it is also the I that is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is going to be inside you, and that means Jesus is inside you. It is the same entity, the same God. Jesus couldn't say this except that he is God Almighty. Amen. He's standing here in the flesh, but he's saying, I'm going away, but I'm returning by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it's Jesus within you. Yo, dog, God took that good thing that you love, you know, Jesus, and he has placed that good thing within you. That is the Holy Spirit. Look back at verse 20. This is such a yo, dog verse right here. Jesus is in the Father. You are in Jesus. And Jesus is in you. Yo, dog. I heard you wanted your life completely changed forever. Get a load of this. Jesus isn't in the Father. Jesus, you are in Jesus. That means you're in God. You're in the Father. And now Jesus is in you. No other place is like that. What a promise that Jesus has made for us. If you don't fear being in the presence of Jesus, oh, I don't want Jesus anywhere near me. No, you've never been like that. If you don't fear the presence of Jesus, you shouldn't fear the presence of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Amen. Oh, in fact, here's the truth. When God filled me with his Spirit, it was the same feeling. It was the same love that I had when I received Jesus, when I believed the gospel message, when I repented of my sins. It wasn't like some totally foreign thing. It was like, this is Jesus. That's how he works. If you love Jesus working in your life, then you should love his Spirit working in your heart. So, number one, if you love Jesus, dog, you ought to love the Holy Spirit. Moving on. Yo, dog, I heard you love truth. Anybody love truth? Anybody love lies? Then you love truth if you don't love lies. You love truth, right? John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus declares that he is the truth. The truth is not a church doctrine. My church believes the truth. Truth is not that. Truth is not a factual thing. Truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ. We preach the truth around here. We preach Jesus. My goodness. Later in the same chapter, very same chapter, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. Not a coincidence. And in John 16, Jesus drops this yo dog verse. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Wait a second. So the Spirit of truth is going to come, and he's going to guide you into what? All truth. Yo, dog, I heard you love truth. So I put the Spirit of truth inside you so that he can lead you into all truth. All right. It's pretty yo, dog, to me. God takes a good thing and he places the good thing inside of you by the Spirit so that it can lead you into all good things. All right. That's the Spirit. That's what he wants to do in the Spirit. Amen. Do you want that? Do you desire it? Yeah. With a world full of lies and deceit, you need the Spirit of truth to guide you. Yo, dog, I heard you love heaven. Anybody love heaven? You bet you should raise your hand on this one, because if you don't love heaven, if you don't love heaven, we have another Bible study to give you, all right? Right? We have this bright tract with all these flames on it, right? Anybody remember those? I remember those, right? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. When you believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Verse 14, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Now get this. The Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our what? Our inheritance. If you have trouble believing in heaven, maybe that's you today. I've met Christians. You know, I believe there's a God. I believe he likes me. Like they're I don't want to say loves, but I think he likes me at least. You know, like he likes me, but you know what? I've talked to a Christian very recently. He says, you know, that heaven thing just seems really convenient. You know, like maybe that's, you know, they put the heaven and hell thing in there to really like put an emphasis on you, you know, being at church. Maybe that's a man-made thing. That's, you know, he was having trouble believing in heaven. I was like, yo, dog, wait, let me get this straight. You believe that God likes you, but you don't believe in heaven. You believe God likes you, sent his only son to save you, but he doesn't have a plan past death? Well, come on, right? Not hard to believe that. That's logical, right? But moving on, you know, if you have trouble believing in heaven, then you need to receive the deposit of heaven. The deposit of heaven. We just read about it. Why do you put down a deposit when you're buying something? It's security. You put down a deposit to show that the full payment is on its way. Let me tell you, you think, here's where Christians get it all wrong. You think you're putting down the deposit on heaven. Come on now. That's some preaching right there. You think I put some tithe in the offering. I'm just putting down my deposit on heaven. My little layaway plan. You know, I worshiped God. I put my deposit on heaven. You know, I haven't missed church so far this year. I'm going to score big. I just laid down your deposit. No. God lays down the deposit on you. On your inheritance to show that he's good for your inheritance. Ooh, do you get this? Isn't that huge? Flip it all around. He has given you the Holy Spirit. It's the seal that marks you. That is the deposit of your inheritance. God gave you the Holy Spirit to let you know, I'm good for it. I'm good for heaven. I'm good for life. Everything I promised to you, I'm putting the deposit. It is security. It's on its way. If you are having trouble believing in heaven, you need to receive the deposit of heaven. It goes even a little further, because if you get into the Hebrew idea, you have the idea of an earnest. And they laid down the earnest as a deposit, but also for you to experience part of the inheritance before all of the inheritance comes. What does that mean? That means that the Holy Spirit is a small part of what's to come, and you get to experience it right now. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you are experiencing the Holy Spirit, you are experiencing heaven on earth. Heaven on earth, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God sent his Spirit. Where was it from? Where did it say it came from in Acts chapter 2? It came from heaven, and it was a piece of heaven dwelling inside of you. That is the deposit on your inheritance. If you're having trouble believing in heaven, you need to get a hold of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit move on the inside of you, and you will never have problem with that again. While we're at it, let's just throw all the devil shenanigans out the window, right? Because when he comes to you telling you God's not real, you can't trust God, you just like you just need to look at him and say, no, I have felt his spirit move in me. I have seen his spirit do what nobody else can do. His spirit healed somebody. His spirit drew me when nothing else would draw me. His spirit spoke. God used his spirit to speak to somebody else, and they spoke to me, and it was exactly what I needed to hear. That's the spirit. What are you talking about, devil? I've got the spirit inside of me. You're telling me this isn't real. Get out of here. Tell them, somebody say, get out of here. That's what you need to do. When you are experiencing the Holy Spirit, you can do that. But let me tell you, when you aren't experiencing the Holy Spirit, you are totally susceptible to all the devil's lies. Because you've got a museum type mentality of God. You know what's in a museum, right? Dead things. A church without the Holy Spirit, alive and moving, is like a museum where they look back and go, oh, in the book of Acts, they used to go around and preach Jesus and 3,000 souls were saved. It was such a good time. But God's Spirit doesn't do that anymore. Let me tell you, you are in a museum mentality if you are not letting a very live Jesus and his Spirit flow in you. But when you have the Spirit moving in you, you cannot stand a museum. The museum is not what you want at all. You are throwing yourself in the middle of worship like you are having a out-of-body experience because heaven is moving in your body, dog. That's what's happening. God does not set up museums. He builds his church, and it is a body. It is not a dead body. It is a body that's alive. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is the deposit to show that heaven is real and all the promises of God is real. Your inheritance is heaven. The Holy Spirit is your guarantee, and it is your experience. It is your taste before that day comes. 2 Corinthians 1:22 says this, set the seal of ownership on us. Whoa. You mean that this is the seal? The Holy Spirit is the seal of ownership? What happens when somebody tries to take your stuff, but your name's on it? You say, give me that back. Get your hands off my stuff. Isn't that what you do? Can you imagine the devil coming over here trying to mess with God's stuff, but God's name is on it? How does that name get on you? It gets on you by the Holy Spirit. It is a seal of ownership. All of heaven says, you get your hands off of her. She belongs to the kingdom. You get your hands off of him. They belong to the kingdom of God. Do you want that in your life? That comes by the Holy Spirit. Set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Yo, dog, if you love heaven, you ought to love the Holy Spirit because it is heaven inside of you. Yo, dog, I heard you love God's power. Who doesn't love God's power, right? Don't you? I won't speak for you, but don't you love it when you hear a testimony? And like, I don't know about you, but when I hear a testimony start, I'm like, oh man, I'm like, sit down, get my popcorn. I'm like, it's going to get good, y'all. It's going to go. Oh, it started off real bad. I like it when they start off real bad. Because when they start off real bad, you're just going to see God's power just that moment. And you're like, oh, here comes the climax of the story. Here it comes. I love that. I love those stories, right? I love to see God's power on display. I love it. Well, yo, dog, I heard you love God's power. If you love it when God does powerful things, you gotta love the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit is the power of God living inside of you. It is one thing to read God's word where he did powerful things, like the powerful things he did in Egypt, the powerful things he did in David when he fought Goliath, or in Jesus when he healed the sick. We could go on and on these powerful stories. We love these powerful stories. But it is entirely a different kind of thing when God wants to put that same spirit power inside of you. It is an entirely different thing. Again, you leave the museum and you now have that power inside of you, alive and well. Ephesians 3:20, if you don't know this verse, you got to know this verse. You need to write this verse down. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work, where? Within us. What do you think Paul was thinking when he was writing that? Well, you know, I'm a card carrying, here's my denomination. No, that's not what he's thinking. He's thinking about the very Spirit of God that Jesus spoke about in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And that Spirit is inside of you, and it's able to do far more than you ever asked or imagined. Not by some external power, some power over there. Usually that's how we think when we pray. God, there's this problem over there. If you could just send your power from heaven, that would be so cool. He wants to send the power from within you to the problem. The power that's already inside of you wants to come alive and do the work. Do you see that? It's not some far off power. Have you been thinking that way when you've been praying? I tell you what, when you build up your faith, when you start to worship the Lord, when you pray, you ought to feel that power start to activate from within you. That's what was happening with Jesus. Remember the woman that reached out? She had the issue of blood. She reaches out, she touches him, and Jesus says, what? Who touched me? I felt virtue. I felt power leave me. Do you know that the power of God could be so active in your life that you actually feel it flowing out of you to heal somebody? Flowing out of you to prophesy to somebody? Flowing out of you to do miracles and wonders? I'm not making this up. That's your Savior. That's Jesus. That's the Spirit. He is in you. That's what he said. That's what he said. Is that what he said? If that's what he said, maybe we should live like it. Maybe we should believe it. Amen. Oh, I'll go pray for that person. Pray for that person like Jesus is living in you, ready to heal them. The healer's here. The healer's here. The victory is here. Everything that you need is here. I tell you what, I love it when people come up and ask for prayer, because I really believe that the Jesus inside of me wants to heal them. Not Chris Fluitt, but the power of God that he's placed inside of me is able to do immeasurably more than everything I can ask or think. And I really believe that when I lay hands on you and I pray in the name of Jesus, that God is going to work a miracle. You're in that kind of church. I've seen enough of God to believe it every time. I believe it every time. Every time. I believe it every time. Oh, thank you for your power. Yo, dog, I heard you love God's power. So God has placed his Holy Spirit in you so that his power can be realized in every part of your life. Yo, dog, that meme is absolutely outrageous, ridiculous. The yo-yos, the dog on a yo-yo so that you're, that's just, I don't even understand it. It's crazy. It takes a good thing. And it places it inside. It's outrageous. I want to tell you as I close today that the Holy Spirit's outrageous. I get why some people get uncomfortable around it. I get it. Because it's crazy. It's outrageous. But I want to tell you, it's outrageously good. Amen. It's outrageously powerful. And it's outrageously filled with the love of Jesus Christ. Yes. I saw people celebrating St. Patrick's Day yesterday. And I don't see that often. I'm not around that crowd. Those crowds need Jesus as much as any crowd. I don't mean to throw shade at them or be judgmental. But I saw a bunch of people that filled themselves with alcohol. Crazy amounts of alcohol. I remember one guy, I really thought he was about to fall right in front of my car. I was like, oh my goodness, I'm about to run over a man. He steadied himself and his red Solo cup just in time. Pretty sure he had water in that Solo cup. He looked dehydrated. And I saw people that they were embarrassing. I thought they were, if their parents could have seen them, that's just embarrassing. They were just embarrassing themselves for not a good reason. And I remember I saw some guy just puking his guts out by the side of the road, just like turned right back around to walk back in the bar. I was just like, oh, I just want to tell you, I was like, my mind was swimming, because number one, I was like so thankful that we've never been in that trap. That is a trap. That's not for you. If you're struggling in any of those areas, Jesus wants to set you free of that. He's got so much better for you than that. I wanted to tell those people that. I wanted them to hear that. I wanted them to know that. And then this just really hit my heart. I want to share it with you. If you fill yourself with the good things of this world, it's only going to make you sick. And it'll end up killing you. Alcohol was one example. Just fill yourself with it. Made them stupid. Made them sick. And trust me, I'm not preaching against alcohol. Having a little drink here and there, that's another thing. But they filled themselves with it. Filled themselves more and more. Drugs. Filling yourself with drugs. You're going to end up dead. You're going to end up dead. Materialism. Oh, let's go to Wall Street. Oh, money, money, material. Look, bigger house, better car. Let me tell you, that's going to kill yourself. You ever see people commit suicide that had everything? They killed themselves with it. They killed them. They're just filling themselves over and over, dying of depression and loneliness. The best that this world has, if you fill yourself with it, it's only going to make you sick. It's going to end up killing you. And the only thing in this world that you could ever fill yourself with that won't kill you, that won't make you sick, is Jesus Christ. If you fill yourself with Him, it brings you life. If you fill yourself with Him, it brings you joy. If you fill yourself with Him, it fills in all the loneliness and gives you friends. It gives you hope. It gives you life. It gives you not just a life in this moment, but it gives you an eternal life. He says that I came that you might have life and that your life would be completely full, completely overflowing with life. Only Jesus can do that. His Spirit inside you does that. Clap your hands if you really believe it. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. It says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Jesus, your Spirit's the only thing that can do that. Would you close your eyes for a moment? Could you tell Him that? Jesus, your Spirit's the only thing that can give me the peace I'm looking for. God, your Spirit is the only thing, God, that can give me the life I'm looking for. God, it's your Spirit. It's your Spirit. Look up. We're about to come to this altar, and I want to encourage everybody to come to this altar today. I really do want to pray with people in the front. But if you don't want somebody to pray with you, just don't come into the first 2 feet and we'll leave you alone. We just want you to talk to Jesus. We want you to ask Him to fill you with the Spirit. John the Baptist said this of Jesus. He says, the one coming after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and the fire. Jesus is the one who baptizes you with His Spirit. Jesus is the one that fills you with the Spirit. His Spirit is the most powerful thing. His Spirit is the best thing. The Holy Spirit, it's a gift. Only way you can really get in trouble with that is if you try to buy the Holy Spirit. We knew a guy, Acts chapter 8, that tried that. Only Jesus can give this gift. Do you want this gift today? It's right here. Why don't you come? These altars are open. These altars are open. Lord Jesus, fill your church with your Spirit. fill our families with the Spirit, God. Lord, we are done being filled with the things of this world. Lord, I'm done being filled with the things of this world. God, I want to be filled with you. I want to be filled with your kindness. I want to be filled with your love. I want to be filled with that power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, move in this place. Father, I pray for everyone listening, watching online right now. Right now, right where they are, they could be born again. They could be filled with the Spirit, that the Spirit of God could fill their life, that they could have an Acts chapter 2 visitation of the Holy Spirit, that they are not off limits, they are not so far from God that His wind can't move right in the room with them, God. Fill them, God. Set them free. Minister to them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that all the churches in Plano would be filled with your Spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, that every believer would be filled with the Spirit of God and that we'd be walking in your life. God, that we'd not be filled with the things of this world any longer, but God would be filled with you.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.